It's good to be here with you guys. Happy New Year. Yeah, Adam stole my joke about your church attendance, so I guess we'll just kind of hop right into it. It's good to have you in the room. Those of you who are online, it's nice to have you watching as well. And of course, as always, we say it every week, but we mean it every week. We're really, really grateful for you guys and the generosity that you show here at Corinth Christian Church. 2022 was an incredible year, and that is largely in part to the generosity that you guys show on a day-to-day basis. And so we're grateful, grateful, grateful. Today, you know, because it's New Year's, is January 1st, 2023, which means that 1 year ago, today was January 1st, 2022. And I gotta tell you, for me, it felt like that was last month, not last year. And I don't know if you feel the same way. A lot of people that I have talked to kind of agree that, man, it just felt like this last year was one of the fastest years we've ever felt. It was the same 365 days. It was the same 24 hours a day. It was the same 60 minutes an hour. But for some reason, it just felt like a very fast pace. And so we get to this point to where we blink and now we're here, 2023. I think I know the reason why. If you go all the way back to 2020, and I know you don't want to go there, but we'll go there for just a second. 2020 was one of the slowest years we ever felt. It ended on December 31st, 2021. And then we had a year where everything was kind of back to normal and we had to catch up. And so we went at this crazy fast pace of constant change, a very fast culture. And now all of a sudden we're here in a brand new year. And maybe you're like me a little bit today, but what I find most overwhelming right now is just how fast everything feels. Our culture seems to be at a crazy speed and an ever-changing time. And generally, I would say to you that change is really good. I actually love change. People don't like me all that much because of how much I like change, and I usually embrace it. But whenever it happens in our culture so fast, I get a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, let's just think back for a minute. In July of 2021, it was $1.64 for a dozen eggs. Now it's $2.98, and everybody I know in Walton County is thinking about raising their own chickens. Like, that's where we're at now, okay? You got this where it was a while back. We were passing trays of communion to each other at church, and now we're on these little individual packets that you would think you'd be better at opening by now, but you still have a hard time getting the top off. Just like me, you've got all that. It was Queen Elizabeth. Now it's King Charles, and everybody I know has found that show on Netflix called The Crown, and that's their educational source for the family. You've got all sorts of different things like that. It was Georgia playing in the national championship. Well, I guess some things really don't change after all. There you go. When I got here in 2019 as the full-time youth minister, teenagers were using words I'd never heard before in my life. And I didn't want to know the words so that I could like talk to them and try to sound cool because I knew that I wasn't. I just wanted to know some of the words so that I could understand what they were saying whenever they spoke to me, right? And so there was one of them that just like immediately they said this. It was no cap. And I'm like, what are you talking about, cap? Like, are you talking about the hat on your head? Like, of course I don't have a hat on. You can see that clearly. And they're like, no, that means like no lie. Like, right? Like we say no cap whenever you think you're saying something untruthful. I'm like, okay, I've got to have some help here. And so I asked a couple of teenagers to make me a list of all of the teen slang words so that I could understand what teenagers were saying whenever they were talking to me. And that list was helpful for about 6 months. And now I need a new one every single day because we've gotten to this point to where our culture is at a never-ending, fast-paced, ever-changing culture. And I got to tell you, for me, it can be overwhelming. You can put change right there with death and taxes. It's one of those constants. And today, as I kind of thought through what we needed as a congregation, Corinth Christian Church, what I needed, what I think you guys need today is not that you be taught anything brand new. You don't need new information that will overwhelm you as you kind of start the year. What we need today is to just simply remind ourselves of some things that are still true. In the midst of our fast-paced, ever-changing culture, there are some things that are still true. Here's our verse for the day. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's it. In the midst of our culture change, whether good or bad, we can hold on to the truth that one thing never does change, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's slow down and let's just take a breath and read that together. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ as a fact does not change. And whether you hear it for the first time today or whether you hear it as a reminder, I just want to share with you two things that are still true because of that verse that we can hold on to, even in the midst of, and maybe even especially in the midst of, our fast-paced, ever-changing culture. Here's something that's still true. Jesus loved you and died for your sins. Jesus loves you and died for your sins. I'm popping a little bit. I'm going to see if I can fix that for a minute. Here we go. Tighten up the cord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news. Earlier this week, my wife and I were in the car on our way up to Smyrna to visit with my aunt and uncle and a couple of cousins. And we were reminding ourselves and talking about some of the Bible verses that we still know because of some of the children's church songs that we learned. And maybe you grew up in children's church, maybe you didn't. But what we found to be so encouraging was we're in our mid-20s and it was so easy for us to remember things because of what we learned. And so we're in the car and we're thinking through things like songs like, oh, you know, we may never be marching in the infantry, but we're in the Lord's army. We might not be able to get to heaven on roller skates because we'll roll right past those pearly gates. You know what I mean? You know verses like maybe Romans 16, 19, because the God of peace will soon crush Satan, or 2 Corinthians 5, 17, because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So we're talking about all these verses. Ooh, can I switch to a handheld? Is there a handheld somewhere right behind me? Let's go.
That if you grew up in the church, you heard it in children's church, you sang a song about it, you may have had hand motions with it, all of these different things, but you need to know today, no matter how many times you've heard that verse, or even if it's the first time you've heard that verse, that is a verse that you still need. It's still true. But God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I want you to remember this one so badly that we actually are going to do some church motions. You've got to humor me, okay? So we're going to do some children's church motions. I want you to imagine that you're a kid. Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So today's your chance. We're going to do some motions. I'm going to try to do it with the handheld, okay? So together, we're going to start with the Bible closed. So hands together, Bible closed. And we're going to open the Bible and say Romans 5:8. Got that? Okay, 3, 2, 1, Romans 5:8. Okay, next part is but God. We're going to point up just like that. So Romans 5:8, but God. And then shows, we're going to show somebody something. Shows his love for us. Boom, just like that. Okay, this one's a little bit fun. We're going to do in that while we were still sinners. And we're going to do like a, haha, you can't catch me. You're right there. While we were still sinners. Christ died, finger cross, for us. Point back. And then we'll close the Bible of Romans 5:8. Okay, ready to put it together? All right, here we go. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. Well done. I want you to remember that verse in 2 weeks and in 2 years and in 2 decades because it really is one of those things that you can take to the bank. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then that means that the gospel is still true. Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. We've memorized the verse. Now let's spend some time talking about it. I want to focus on just the first three words. First is but God. Perhaps two of my favorite words in the Bible. There are a couple of stories that I kind of remember with this phrase. The first one is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It's the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery, so they didn't win the best brother award. They're together after a long story. They're finally together again. And Joseph, instead of being angry at them, he says to them, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God, he meant it for good. You've got 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14. King Saul is trying to find David so that he can kill him because David is going to be the next king of Israel. And you've got this text that says, day after day, Saul searched for David, but God did not give David into his hands. You and I love verses with a "but God" because it's a story. And it's your story, and it's my story. You see, I was religious, and all of my worship and attention went to the ball field. But God revealed himself to me, and now he gets my attention. I was on track to attend a different university, but God, he called me into ministry, and I ended up at Bible college. I was nervous about moving away from home and to this new place in Georgia where everybody says things differently, but God has given me more friends and family than I could have ever imagined. I was content being single, but God sent a Georgia peach named Tristan my way. You love stories with "but God" in them. Here's the best one. Two words, "but God," they reveal a story. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ." Here's what that means. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5a. Anytime you see a contrast, you want to look at the verses before. So let's read verse 7. Paul writes, "Now most people would be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good." So here's basically what Paul's saying. He's saying no one dies for the bad people. No one dies for the unrighteous. No one dies for the ungodly. But God, he did. One of my old Bible college professors says it like this: the love of God drove the death of God. Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. And because of that, you and I can have a "but God" story, where we experience transformation because of the grace that is available to us. Here's the third word in that verse. It's the word "shows." The word "shows" is a Greek word. It's sunistimi, or at least that's how I think you say it. Other translations of the Bible might translate it, "but God proves his love" or "demonstrates his love." What that word literally means is "stands with" or "holds together." It's the same word that Paul uses in Colossians when he says that in Christ all things hold together. And so it's not just that God shows his love, but there's something final about it. There's something complete about it. God's love is firm. It's stamped. It's finished. God's love holds together because of what he has done. I hang out with middle school boys a lot, which, just to clarify, are my favorite demographic of people in the entire world, even though everybody else gives them a bad rap. They're the best. One phrase that middle school boys like to often claim is, "I am faster than you." Okay, you know the type, right? You know the type. I've got to prove I'm faster. I've got to prove I'm stronger. I've got to prove I'm quicker. And so back when I was in college, I was doing some ministry, and one of these middle school boys did such a claim to me. He looked at me and said, "I'm faster than you." I was like, okay, prove it. And so we lined up, same starting spot, picked a destination to end, you know, like a race. And someone on the end, you know, 3, 2, 1, go, and we take off. And I'm happy to report to you that I annihilated that student in that race. I beat him so bad. He hadn't even gotten halfway down the track before I was done. And that was all the way back in college. I won't do that anymore if you're a middle school boy in the room, because I've hurt my knee, and I think that's forever. So you can prove that you are faster than me. There was the claim, "I'm faster than you," but that student couldn't prove or demonstrate that his claim was true. Listen, God is screaming from heaven, "I love you. I love you." And we sometimes sit here and we look back at him and we say, "Oh yeah, prove it." And he says, "Man, I did. I already did. My love for you stands firm and it holds together because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished." Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. And so when you're overwhelmed by the fast-paced, ever-changing culture that's around us, man, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. When your to-do list is stacked up, it doesn't fit on one, much less two sheets of paper, Jesus loves you, and he died for your sins. When your marriage seems like it's falling apart, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. When your prodigal child makes another stupid decision, Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. When the hospital bills come in, Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. When your parents' health start to fail, they're aging and you're faced with some difficult decisions, Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. Church, listen, this is still true. When the circumstances around you are overwhelming, Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. And you can take that to the bank because of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we could spend hours and hours and hours talking about all of the different things that are still true because of how consistent and constant our God is. I want to just give you one more today. It's still true. The mission is still the one. That's the mission. The mission is still the one. Nothing changes that. Last March, we did a sermon series, if you can remember, all the way back. We called it Lost, and we spent a lot of time in Luke chapter 15 as we introduced to you a concept called the One. Luke chapter 15 is a group of three stories that Jesus tells all about someone or something who is lost, and they all reveal something about God's character. But Luke chapter 15 starts with Jesus experiencing some sort of critique, which happens quite often. Like if you read the Gospel of Luke and you get to chapter 15 and you're surprised by that time that Jesus is experiencing critique, then you've missed something. This happens all the time. The critique comes from religious leaders who were not sure what Jesus was up to and why he hangs out with so many tax collectors and notorious sinners, people that the culture looks down upon. And Jesus is hanging out with them. And so in response to that critique, Jesus tells these stories in Luke chapter 15. The first one is the story of the lost sheep. I'll start in verse 3. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry his sheep home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." And Jesus stops the story. He looks at those who are critiquing him, and he says in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. That's the first of three. The next one is about a lost coin. The one after that is about a lost son. And these stories reveal to us about the character of God, that God is always in search of the one. And Jesus tells these stories as a way to communicate to these people and to us that his mission is to find those who are lost and make sure that they become found. That's what Jesus came to do. In Luke chapter 15, he uses stories, but just a few chapters later in Luke chapter 19, Jesus says it clear as day. You might know this story as well because of a children's church song you may have heard. Here's what the story is. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, a problem I would never have. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "Jesus, he's at it again. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. I want you to notice, not much has changed since the beginning of Luke chapter 15, has it? They didn't get the point of the stories. The story continues. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." Then I want you to listen. After Jesus has proven with his interaction with Zacchaeus what his mission is, he says it clear as day. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." That's what Jesus came to do. That's what his mission is. Jesus came so that those who were lost, are lost, might be found. And if I know anything about you and me, I would be able to tell you this. That is our story. Once we were lost, now we are found. And so church, listen to me. If you have been found and you consider yourself a part of the 99, then you have adopted the same mission of your Savior, Jesus Christ. You do not get to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then become a spectator. That's the word. You don't get to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior and become a spectator of what happens in the kingdom of God. Rather, when you claim Lord as your Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a participant of what happens in the kingdom of God. Jesus's mission is now your mission. You are to seek those who are lost so that through Christ and in Christ, they might be found. That's what Jesus's mission is. And so when we did this series in Luke chapter 15 last March, we asked you guys a question. And the question was this: who is your one? I want to revisit that today as we kind of begin a new year and just ask you some questions. Have you been praying for them? Have you been extending invitations to them? Have you been looking for opportunities to speak truth and encouragement into their life? I know many of you are. And if so, I want to encourage you to keep at it. One of the truths that you'll learn as you live on mission is that God's timing is always better than our timing. And I know that if it was up to you, the one that you have in your mind would be sitting next to you right now. But they're not. And that's okay. Because God's timing is better than our timing. And so keep at it. Keep persisting. Keep inviting. Keep praying. Your job is to seek those who are lost so that through Christ and in Christ, they might be found. Some of you weren't with us all the way back in March. Some of you may have heard what we talked about in March, but it just kind of, in the midst of all of the crazy, got pushed to the back of your brain, and now you're here. Who's your one? Do you know someone who's lost? Then you've got someone to pray for, and you've got someone to invite. Now, I have one. If you were here in March, whenever we started this, we gave everybody a card, and we asked you to write what your one's name is right here. This is my card. I've got mine down. I won't tell you his name because this gets shared publicly, but I'm looking at it right now. And man, I'm trying. Sometimes I do better than others. I pray for him every day when I remember to. And every time I see him, I try. I look for the opportunity. Is this my chance, Lord? Is this my chance? Is this my chance? And try to step in there. I try to invite. And I'm going to be honest with you. So far, I've made very, very little progress. It's hard. But I'm going to keep at it. And I hope that you will too. Because here's another thing I know. Some of you might be where I'm at. But others of you, praise God that it is this way. You have seen invitations accepted. And you've seen lives transformed. You've seen but God's stories in the lives of those that you've been praying for. And I want to just share this with you. This is the most exciting thing in the whole world to me. And you can clap and you can holler. In the year 2022, we saw 53 baptisms here at Corinth Christian Church. That's 53. That is, if you felt like you were coming in and watching a video every single week, it's because you were. We had a baptism here every week. And we believe that that is largely in part to what you guys are doing out there in the mission field, that you are praying for your one, that you're inviting your one, that God is being faithful and that he's answering prayers and that he is sending you out to bring people in so that those who are lost might be found. And I want to just tell you right at the beginning of the year, that doesn't have to stop, that doesn't need to stop, and that should not stop. So you continue to go out, you go after the one, you go after the lost, because your mission is the same as Jesus Christ. Until everyone at Walton County has a relationship with Jesus, our church is just too small. Not because we want Corinth Christian Church to be great, but because we want Jesus's name made famous. Because he is king. And one day all will bow down at his name. So church, who is your one? They are still the mission. Stay strong. Keep at it. Because there will be much rejoicing in heaven, and might I add, in this place, when one lost sinner is found. And you can take that to the bank as something that is still true, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This last year in 2022 was a fun year. We started up something here at the church that has been a huge blessing to me, if anything else. We did a podcast called Corinth in Your Car. Some of you have tuned in, some of you haven't. That's not, I don't care. But for me, it's been a huge blessing because I get to hang out with two people who are smarter and wiser than me and have a conversation. Sometimes we talk about important things, and sometimes we talk about how I thought Georgia was going to lose two games this year, right? So I'm wrong. There you go. Tomorrow, an episode is going to come out, and Josh asked Adam and myself a question. He says, think about Corinth and think about this next year. What are some of your dreams for this place? I'm going to spoil the answer for you. I said two things. My first dream for this next year here at this place is that this would become a church. This would become a hub that is full of but God stories of transformation. That it would be impossible for you to walk through the doors and then leave without hearing about or meeting someone who has experienced the love of God. That this would be a hub for stories like, our marriage was on the rocks, but now it's saved. That there would be stories like, I lost someone who was dear to me, but by God's grace, I'm finding healing and hope. Stories like, I was addicted, but now by God's grace, I am transformed. Stories like, I was questioning my faith, but now I know God has proven himself by what Jesus has accomplished. Stories of transformation. That's my first dream. My second is that every single person who calls Corinth Christian Church their home church, many of you in the room, is that you would have a successful invite of your one. Not just that you would have a one, not just that you would pray for your one, not just that you would invite your one, but that all of us, every single one of us who calls this place home, would have a successful invite of their one. Can you imagine what God can do with this place if we remain faithful and we refuse to be a spectator, but rather we declare, God, I'm grateful that you want to use me as a participant in the mission of your kingdom. We've reminded ourselves of two things today. In the midst of our fast-paced, ever-changing culture, it's still true. Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. And the mission is still the one. Your bottom line's already been given. You just didn't know it yet. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Done. Fact. Finished. He's the same. So I want to challenge you to preach that to yourself this year. Remind yourself of that over and over and over again. When you get overwhelmed, when you get anxious, when you get tired, when you get weary, when change overwhelms you, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Preach that to yourself this year. On your way in or on your way out, you can grab a card that looks just like this. It's got the verse on it. I want to encourage you, just put that up. Put it on your bathroom mirror, put it in the dash of your car, in your journal, in your Bible, tape it to your chest. I don't care. Anywhere that you need to see it, put it there so that every single day you are reminding yourself, no matter what changes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But now let's talk about you. You don't have to be. I've got great news for you today. It's still true. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. It's still true. The mission is still the one, but it is still true that you can actually become different. The good news of the gospel as a fact, it does not change, but the gospel does change lots of things, and one of them can be you. And today can be a turning point in your story where you look back and say, no, on January 1st, 2023, that is whenever I had a but God moment. I walked into church and I didn't want to go, but I walked in and I needed some encouragement because I was discouraged. But God, he revealed himself to me. Or I came to church questioning my faith, but God has proven his love for me because of what Jesus has done. Or I have never given my life to Jesus, but God has been searching for me. I was lost, but man, I want to be found. You can have a but God moment of transformation today if you just step out and you make the decision. Some of you said, I'll do it in 2022. That's over. Don't say, I'll do it later in 2023. Because guess what? You have that complacency. You're going to be in 2024. You still haven't done it. Do it today. Today, right now, January 1st, 2023. God, I'm so grateful that you have looked at me and you have said, I will seek and I will find and I will restore. That can be your story today. If you've never made a decision to make Jesus your Lord, to make Jesus your Savior, to experience the blessing of baptism, I want to invite you to make that decision today. There are a couple of ways we can do that. There's a card, the welcome home card in the back in front, seat back in front of you. Fill it out, mark it out, drop it off. Even better, we can have a conversation today. And those of you who are watching online or in the room, you can go to corinth.cc/decided. Tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. We'll come alongside of you, pray with you, and help you take a next step. But for everybody in the room, are you tired? Are you discouraged? If you're overwhelmed, I've got good news. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Each week we take communion together as a church, and it's a reminder of just how much the gospel actually changes us. The gospel does not change, it's still true, but the gospel does change us. And as we take Jesus' body and Jesus' blood, it's more than just a moment. We are actually declaring as a community of believers Jesus' death and resurrection. We are saying, yes, it happened and it is still true. Every single week when we do this, we are putting a stamp and we are saying, no matter what else changes, we know for a fact that Jesus died for us and that Jesus rose again and he has declared his love for us. His love stands firm. It holds together. He has demonstrated it. He has proven it. And we've got a little great reminder of all of that today. That God's love for us was proven on the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today, as you take communion with me together as a church, I want to encourage you to just say thank you. Father, thank you that you are the same. Thank you that you remain true. Thank you for the sacrifice. I'm going to put the microphone down so I can use two hands. And we're going to take this together. Holy Father, we are so grateful, so, so grateful that you have declared your love for us and that you actually proved it, that you demonstrated, that you showed it to us, and that there was nothing that was ever going to stop you from calling us back to yourself. And so today we're grateful for the reminders that no matter what else changes, you stay the same. Help us to be refreshed by that. Help that to be news that excites us like it's the first time we ever heard it. And help us to remember it each and every day as you begin to transform us and as you continue to work through us. We pray that your name would be made famous in this place. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.